The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. This word serves as our sermon text. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word peace can take us in many different directions. It is a rich truth throughout all of Scripture. You can kind of equate some of the words connected with peace in this way. Words such as reconciliation, relationship, presence of God, well-being, contentedness, salvation, redemption, wholeness, cross, joyful assurance, gift of God, and new creation. Do you think such a broad truth can be tied together with a common thread? I think so. In our text today from John 20, we have two appearances of our risen Lord to his disciples where Jesus uses the word peace three times. I think in each he's speaking a word of forgiveness. The common bond that ties all three of these together is what we focus on in our theme. The bond of peace is forgiveness. My fellow redeemed, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The first time Jesus speaks the word peace, forgiveness brings peace from fear. Peace must include freedom from fear. Some of those words associated with peace, salvation, joyful assurance, presence of God, are the very opposite of fear. People live in fear for a variety of reasons. If you're in the Middle East or in other parts of the Muslim world, you might have some fear and terror when it comes to suicide bombers who have no respect for human life. We have a lot of violence in our own country, in our own community. But you know, there are other things that cause us fear. What about the fear and the anxiety when you're awaiting test results from your doctor? I recently added up the number of people on my personal prayer list who are either cancer survivors or are currently battling with it, and it was at least 15 different people. There was no peace for the disciples after Good Friday. In fact, they're scared. It says, and the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Think about it. The disciples had abandoned Jesus, and most especially Peter. They thought the Jews might be after them as well. They no longer had a leader to make them feel secure. So what kind of things upset the peace in our lives? Well, it could be the fear of death if we're dealing with a serious illness. Or maybe we labor under unconfessed sins. Or maybe we have relationships that are broken and that need to be mended. What we're afraid to take the first step and reach out to that person and say, I was wrong, and to ask for their forgiveness. Maybe we face an uncertainty with our own job. I kind of always chuckle at that one. I don't know how long I'll be privileged to serve you. And sometimes our kids feel and have to deal with harassment at school from other kids. And that should never have to be the case. There are a whole variety of things that can make any one of us fearful and literally rip the peace out of our lives. But Jesus had returned from the grave to bring peace to these disciples instead of fear. He stands in their presence and announces, "Peace be with you." Jesus brings peace from fear. And to do that, there had to be forgiveness. Remember, the disciples had abandoned Jesus. Now that he was alive and victorious over death, they might have been thinking, he might be a little angry at us. He might be coming to us with the very purpose of taking revenge on his deserters and the triple denier, Peter. More than the Jews, Jesus might have been the one that they had to fear. But not so. Jesus begins with the words of the gospel, "Peace be with you." That is an absolution. Jesus' declaration of forgiveness for deserting him and denying him. Remember the words of Jesus from the cross on Good Friday? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." He could have very well spoken those words to his own disciples for what they had done to him. But all was forgiven. Jesus didn't come to bring vengeance, but to announce peace. And the result is that they now receive a word of peace to calm their fears. It says the disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They had their leader back. He wasn't angry with them, and they had nothing to fear. We too can rejoice. We have nothing to fear. Jesus is not angry with us. We confess our sins and he forgives us. The one who conquered death is with us to deliver us from death itself. The one who now rules all things for his church will protect us, will provide for us, will support us. The one who couldn't be kept out by a locked door has the power to open new doors when others have closed. As Paul wrote, if God is for us, who can be against us? The bond of peace is forgiveness. The second time Jesus speaks the word peace, forgiveness brings peace from helplessness. Peace can't just be oblivion, idleness, or numbness, as the Hindus believe. Peace sounds more like the words relationship, reconciliation, restoration, or cross. The disciples had no peace as they hid behind the closed doors. They were rather helpless at that time, numbed, paralyzed by Jesus' death. But they were the prime candidates to take Jesus' kingdom to the world. But there they sat behind locked doors. That wasn't peace. That was turmoil, a rush of conflicting thoughts running through their heads with nothing else on which to focus. Yeah, sometimes we feel numb, helpless, or unable to fulfill our purpose. There's a whole world out there. There's a community around us that needs Jesus' peace. And God can use us to proclaim it to others. Fortunately, Jesus gave his disciples peace by making them receivers of forgiveness. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." That is Jesus' way of saying to these men, "You're precious and useful to me." Jesus' word of peace declared to them his forgiveness. And now they have the power to proclaim Christ's message of forgiveness to the world. They receive peace and deliverance from their helpless and fearful condition. Likewise, you and I are no longer helpless. We have the forgiveness of sins which Jesus earned on the cross through his suffering and death. That forgiveness which was announced on Easter morning through a tomb that was empty, through the words of the angel who said, "He is not here, he is risen." Jesus has given to his church the joy of announcing that message to people we encounter each and every day. The bond of peace is forgiveness. The final time that Jesus spoke peace, forgiveness brought peace from their doubts and fear. Other words which declare this peace are contentedness, wholeness, and well-being. Kind of the opposite of words like doubt and unbelief. For all that doubt does is cause internal conflict. Unbelief requires something to place one's trust in. But that is where Thomas had dwelled for a whole week. He was absent the first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. Imagine the emptiness and the void in his life. While his brothers were able to rejoice, his doubting gave him no peace at all. And yet we understand Thomas, don't we? We believe and confess that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and that he has already given us eternal life through the washing and regeneration of holy baptism. But do we always believe, as the hymn that we sang last Sunday, "Because my Redeemer lives, he grants me rich supply, guides me with his eye, will silence all my fears, will wipe away all my tears"? Jesus returned that second time to Thomas to bring him peace. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus forgives Thomas's unbelief. He says, "Be not unbelieving, but believing." The result is peace from unbelief and doubts, to which Thomas is able to confess, "My Lord and my God." We too can be content, whole in faith and assured. For John closes this chapter with these words, "But these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus has forgiven our doubts and unbelief. He keeps coming back to us with the word of the gospel. He comes to us in his body and blood and the Holy Supper. and hear, we taste and touch and eat, and through these means, Jesus forgives us our sins and strengthens us for the daily battle. So what do you think? Is forgiveness the common bond that ties all of these truths of peace together? True peace, as the Bible describes it, is always a product of the restored relationship between God and man. And that is a result of the forgiveness that Christ earned for us on the cross. It might be useful for all of us to do a little word association with the word peace. Considering all the ways and situations where we'd like to experience peace in our lives, in our homes, in our friendships, in our relationship with God and with others, we can then remember how the forgiveness of Christ earned on Good Friday and declared on Easter is the key. In Jesus' name and completed work, peace be with you. Amen.